All right.
Hello.
Hello, guys.
Welcome back
to the Flake Chicks podcast.
I'm Jane.
And I'm Allison.
And how are you, Allison?
Good.
Good.
That's all I have.
yeah, so we're recording this a week early.
Yes.
But we recorded A Quiet Place.
Mere moments ago,
and now we're recording A Quiet Place 2, which you are probably listening to a week later. You are listening to it.
You definitely aren't listening to it right now, because it's not out.
Yeah. So hello from the past.
I hope we're doing better.
I have a spider bite.
Yep. Hopefully manifesting next week that won't be there.
That won't be there.
yeah, next week I'll be at work
all weekend.
So we won't be able to record. That's not usual for me, but
yeah,
special circumstances.
We'll also be doing a little bit more content.
Yeah, we're going to try and do some video-based content.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. Allison is getting more comfortable with video content after we made a film.
Yeah, getting into some video editing.
Yeah, and then so once Liam gets home, we can start doing that.
Yeah, once we have equipment back.
Yes.
Oh, the cats are fighting! Always interesting episode when the cats fight. Yep, so we're talking about Quiet Place Part 2. We talked about the first one last week,
yep,
which you can listen to if you haven't already.
We saw this at the drive-in.
We did. Maybe not the best choice.
Well, so you guys, I'm assuming if you've listening to this, you've seen the first one, or have at least listened to us talk about the first one. And if you know that, then you know that the first one is pretty much entirely silent, and most of it is subtitled being spoken in ASL, which I really like. I am hard of hearing, and I watch subtitles with everything, regardless if they are quiet.
I like it too, especially in somewhere like the drive-in where it's loud as shit.
And it's hard to hear.
And everyone, you're just listening to a million radios go echoing off at once. And it's like, you can't really hear that good.
So we thought that it was going to be like, subtitled, right?
Yeah. And we weren't huge fans of the first one.
It's fine. It's fine.
So we weren't trying to pay like $13 to go see it. We were trying to pay like $7 to go
see it. Which is how much it is to see it at the drive-in.
So we went.
To the drive-in.
It was hard to hear.
It was hard to hear.
This had a lot more speaking
in
it.
A lot, substantially more speaking.
Like,
and
a lot of speaking.
And I can't hear. I lost pretty much all of it, and Allison had to explain it to me.
Yeah, I would just constantly be like, okay, so that guy, he said this. And even then, I'm still coming just on a lot of context, because I'm missing a lot of small things.
Something that kind of annoyed me about that, though, is that it wasn't subtitled even in those. So, like, wouldn't you expect if you made a movie that's completely silent, it would attract deaf viewers?
It does feel to me.
And then if you saw the second one and it was almost all talking with no subtitles, wouldn't you feel kind of, like, gypped as a deaf person?
A little. It's like, hey, why don't you just subtitle the whole thing?
Yeah, just subtitle. It's not that big of a deal. You obviously were fine with subtitles last movie.
Pretty much subtitled the whole first movie.
And you subtitled half of this movie.
Yeah.
So why don't I subtitle all of it? That's just my critique, but whatever.
So, Jane, why don't you?
Yeah, okay.
Let's just start on the plot here, because I feel like we're going to have a lot to say.
Yeah. So this is just a little bit longer than the first one, and just for the budget, it had a $61 million budget, and so far, it just released, it has made almost $200 million at the box office.
Wow.
Yeah. So, over a year before the events of the first film, the Abbott family attend son Marcus's baseball game, so this is a flashback. Mid-game, bewildered spectators look skyward as a flaming object slowly hurtles towards Earth. As people exit the park and attempt to drive away, the town is beset and attacked by alien creatures possessing armored skin and extraordinary speed and strength. The creatures are blind but have hypersensitive hearing to target and track victims. So this is like day one, right?
Day one of the aliens.
And so this is like John Krasinski's still in it.
Yeah, it appears to me that the only reason John Krasinski is in this scene and the only reason this scene is in the movie is because John Krasinski maybe wanted a paycheck.
Which is fair. I mean, it's your movie, but also it's a little useless, I think.
There's no reason that this scene needs to be in the movie.
Like, I already figured out they were aliens.
We already know what the aliens look like. If this movie was like a prequel, like how did it get here?
I think it's supposed to introduce the guy who we see later in the film. I think that's the only purpose it serves.
Well, that's very dumb.
And because I didn't, as someone who didn't hear what was going on, I didn't even get the guy was the guy from before until like.
And it didn't really matter.
It didn't really matter. I didn't feel like I lost anything.
No. I mean, I guess it makes a little more sense. I'm like, well, why is he helping them? Because he knew their dad. But it's like.
But also, she has a baby. Who wouldn't help her, you know?
Yeah. And he doesn't help him that much.
No, not really.
So it's like, you know, not that helpful.
So in the present, the aliens have killed much of the Earth's population, including Lee, the Abbot patriarch who sacrificed himself to save his surviving family, wife Evelyn, deaf teen daughter Reagan, and adolescent son Marcus, and Evelyn's newborn son. Reagan, who discovered that high-frequency audio feedback can incapacitate the creatures, devises a method of transmitting the noise from her cochlear implant hearing aid through a microphone and speaker, allowing Evelyn to fatally shoot the creatures when they are vulnerable. So yeah, the sound light makes them freak out and open up their shells, and then you can like shoot them in what the
heck. And they'll die.
And they'll die. That was established in the previous film. I don't really know why we're rehashing it, but...
Something that cannot believe they're the only people who figured this
out. I cannot believe it. We figured it out in 30 minutes.
It just seems, like, very obvious.
Yeah.
And it's like most of the Earth's population has been killed.
Except for you?
Nobody else figured this out.
A 13-year-old girl figured it out. It's
apparently only people with implants who have been in very specific scenarios who have been able to figure this out. The deaf community on top.
It's our time, is what they're saying. Oh my gosh. So, with their isolated home now destroyed, the family searches for remaining survivors. They bring Reagan's kit to fend off the creatures. Upon entering a fenced-off area, Marcus steps into a bear trap. This is, like, one of the scariest parts of the whole movie.
That's pretty fucked up.
Oh, and everyone in the whole drive-in was like, oh, whenever that happened. It came out of nowhere. It was so scary. And his subsequent screams attract a creature.
Mm-hmm.
Using the hearing aid and shotgun, Reagan and Evelyn kill it, free Marcus, and flee into an abandoned steel foundry as another creature arrives. They stumble upon Emmett, a friend of Lee's, who was established in the flashback, but he has a beard now, so you can't really recognize him. He's the guy from Peaky Blinders.
He also has a giant, like, face covering on and a hat at the beginning.
Yeah, yeah.
So you really don't know who he is.
True. So Emmett reluctantly takes them to his bunker under the foundry. Marcus and Reagan discover a radio station signal that plays the song Beyond the Sea on a loop. Reagan determines it is a clue meant to lead survivors to the nearby islands. She theorizes that if she can reach the radio tower located there, the high-frequency noise can be transmitted to the other survivors who can weaponize the signal against the creatures. Fair.
This is like halfway through the movie.
Yeah.
But this does not take a long time for her to figure out.
No.
She figures this out nearly immediately.
Yeah. After telling Marcus her plan, she secretly ventures out alone to find the island. He's really upset with her. And also, so...
Keep in mind, this is like... So when we open... we open in the flashback, but after that...
Yeah.
This is the immediately. Day after... This is right after their dad died. It's the same day.
It's the same day.
They have to leave because their house is like destroyed and is causing a lot of noise.
Yes.
So they pack up.
Yeah, they leave. He's living like down in this foundry, right? But they have these giant vaults that like he pads to where he can like get in and out of them, but they only have enough oxygen for a couple of minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever they're hiding from the creatures, they hide in these safes and they set a timer that, tells them how long they can stay in there, right?
Yeah.
So they didn't really mention that, but that is very important to the story. So discovering Reagan is gone, Evelyn implores Emmett to bring her back. Emmett finds Reagan and wants them to return to the foundry. Appealing to his sense of duty, Reagan convinces Emmett to help complete her mission. Meanwhile, at the foundry, Evelyn leaves Marcus and the newborn to gather needed medical supplies and equipment. Yeah, so the oxygen tank that they use on the baby so he can breathe in his little soundproof box is running out.
Yeah, as it would. And then also she needs to get medicine because his foot was caught in a bear trap.
And she might need to amputate it if she doesn't get medicine. So Emmett and Reagan find him. Wait, I'm sorry. Ooh, During her absence, Marcus explores the foundry and discovers the corpse of Emmett's wife.
Ah! Which, by the way, never brought up.
Never explained, don't understand it. Startled, he knocks over some objects, alerting a nearby creature. Marcus narrowly gets into the bunker, but accidentally locks himself and the baby inside. Ah, this is the scariest part.
The scariest part of the movie. This was absolutely the most suspenseful part.
We were like, oh my god.
This is my favorite plot.
Oh, my favorite plot.
It's like the C plot.
The C plot. It's the C plot. And it is the most harrowing. It's so scary. And
maybe
so,
the B. It could be arguably the B.
It is so suspenseful. So Emmett and Reagan find a marina and search for a boat. Feral humans living there ambush them.
Feral humans. It's been
two years. Emmett deliberately creates noise and attracts two creatures that slaughter the deranged inhabitants. When one creature drowns, Emmett realizes the aliens are unable to swim. Reagan secures a small boat, and the two reach the island where a small colony of survivors is living a relatively normal existence. This is pretty upsetting.
I also want to say, again, this seems like a pretty fucking major weakness. How has no one figured it out? I mean, I guess some people have, right? Because there's this, like, colony. Yeah. But it's like, is Japan just, like, doing well?
I guess so. We don't know, though, do
all
we?
All of Hawaii is untouched. It's
untouched, fine.
Because
it's an island.
It's an island. It's like, they can't swim. And it's like, oh, shit.
Oh, shit, island.
How did we not figure that out? There's a lot of land for people then, isn't there?
Yeah. The colony leader reveals that when the government discovered the creatures were unable to swim, the National Guard moved as many people as possible to the islands. Fucked.
But didn't advertise that to anyone.
Didn't advertise it to anyone! Which, like, is actually probably the most realistic part of the government.
Didn't advertise that, like, hey, the creatures can't swim.
Well, if it was actually accurate, they'd move all the rich people to the islands.
Well, look at the island.
True. True. So true. It's like the island in Bob's Burgers that they're always going to. That's what it reminded me of. So a creature that boarded a yacht. Oh, back at the foundry, Marcus and the baby remain trapped in the airtight bunker and will soon suffocate.
Ah! We're screaming. Jane and I are screaming.
Screaming.
And then every other scene is boring as hell. But then this scene, we're like,
He's like trying to like make sure the baby's like breathing enough, but so he like gets enough air and he's suffocating. Oh my God. Mm. It's so suspenseful. And he's a great actor.
Mm-hmm.
He's really good.
Noah Jupe.
He's awesome. Really good. So Evelyn returns and distracts the creatures to save the children. The three continue hiding inside the bunker as the creature resumes prowling the foundry. A creature that boarded a yacht at the marina, classy, has drifted to the island and immediately begins attacking the survivors. The colony leader, Emmett, and Reagan jump into a car and lead the creature to the radio station. The creature kills the colony leader while Emmett and Reagan escaped into the station. He is the second sacrificial black guy in this movie.
Who would survive? A colony of people, one boat that's untied in a marina.
But so, yeah, there's a guy in the beginning who's like, he's a black guy, and
he's a cop,
and he only serves to, like, die in place of John Krasinski.
Yeah, and which then, it doesn't even matter.
It doesn't even matter. He dies later. And then this guy, another sacrificial black guy, as we often see in horror movies, is also sacrificed to save Emmett. So John Krasinski really does research on those classic horror films.
Yeah, he said, I watched two more. And,
you know what they had?
They were The Shining. And all I learned was this one thing.
And there was this one thing. So the creature kills the colony leader. They escape into the station. The creature attacks and wounds Emmett and is about to kill him when Reagan transmits her hearing aids high frequency through the room speakers. She takes a long time to do this.
She really does.
Too long.
Like, damn, Reagan, let's speed it up, bitch.
The creature is incapacitated, allowing Reagan to impale its exposed head with a metal rod. That's a pretty cool death scene.
Yes.
Saving Emmett. Simultaneously, at the foundry, the creature has discovered the bunker and attacks Evelyn, but before it can kill her, Marcus picks up Reagan's transmission and plays it through his portable radio, incapacitating the creature. Marcus shoots it dead with Evelyn's revolver. Reagan leaves her hearing aid connected to the radio station's microphone, allowing anyone receiving the frequency to fight the creatures. So it's just the same thing. We figure out the same thing, right?
Yep, so that's the same plot as before.
That's the exact same plot.
Here's essentially what happened in this movie. This movie takes place over the course of 2 days.
Yes, the last one took place over several months.
Yes, and this takes place from where the last movie leaves off to 2 days later.
Yes.
This feels like it could have just been attached to the other movie.
Yeah.
We would have had like a 3-hour-long movie, but it would have had more, I don't know.
You would have had like the flashback, right? Which would have been cool.
But honestly, here's the thing. This movie has, like, nothing happens.
Nothing happens.
Like, a lot happens, but nothing happens.
Yeah, like,
really, our characters aren't any further along than they were.
Well, they found people, but that's literally it. But that could have literally happened.
The idea that there were no other people is ridiculous.
It's ridiculous,
yeah. It's like, oh, we are the only ones
because
that figured
this out.
Because
we speak ASL.
Yeah, you're the only people that speak ASL in the whole world. It's not like there are entire deaf communities of people living together. Nope, you're the only ones. Okay. And also, basically this is the plot of the movie. Reagan finds out thing in the last movie that helps stop creatures.
Yeah.
In this movie, she figures out, I can play over radio. She plays over radio.
That's all that happens.
They just take the next logical step,
yeah.
And that's it. It's like, a way more interesting movie would have just jumped all of this.
Yeah.
And then been about, like, humanity retaking the Earth.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, and this is, like, a weird allegory for kids growing up, right? And
it's stupid.
It's like, we know how to kill them. You always knew how to kill them. Now you're just killing them.
You figured out how to kill them in the first one. You just didn't shoot the stupid gun. And then Noah Jupe just, like, takes care of a baby the whole movie, basically.
Basically, also.
And then Emily Blunt's entire plot is getting medicine.
That's all she does in this
and
movie.
And it's like nothing happens to her on getting medicine. No. She's just, like, picking out medicine and then walking back.
That's all she does.
That's her whole plot. Walk to medicine, get medicine, walk back. That's the plot for Emily Blunt.
But there's a lot of dialogue that happens between Emmett and Evelyn. And it's too much for me because I couldn't hear anything that was happening. But was at the same time, I feel like I didn't miss anything.
I feel like it was basically her being like, there are people, and him being like, they're not people anymore. And then that's what the feral people are.
Yeah. Unexplained, though.
How did you live alone, Emmett, in a foundry, and your family's been dead for a long time? Mm-hmm. How has this entire community of people turned feral when they've been living in a community together?
When you've been living alone!
Also, the idea that it only takes two years to turn feral, grown adults, not happening.
But they don't explain
also,
that, like...
Oh. How have they been surviving from the creatures? They're feral, but they're still super quiet. They're grown adults. They're having children. They can't be, like... wild animals. They're not like Wolf Boy raised by wolves. They're like
adults. It's been 2 years.
They're like 45 years old. They were like middle-aged when this happened. the world's collapsed, but it's like, okay, and Emily Blunt like made a farm in that time.
Yeah.
And you like created an industrial boot camp. You think that they haven't been doing anything except, like, losing their minds? I don't know if it's explained more, but I feel like no.
I feel like, well, the thing that I would think of would be, like, right, a bacteria of some sort, like an alien bacteria that would infect, like, people, but that's never explained.
And then why doesn't that infect anyone else? And why is no one else worried about it?
It doesn't make any sense.
No, and it's like, yeah, and it's like, he's just basically, they're not people. And then it just, like, doesn't explain it any further. And then we just see the feral people. And you're like, okay, what happened to them?
Why are they like
and
that?
And like their eyes are all, the little kids' eyes are all fucked up. But it's like, why are they like that?
No
explanation.
Sorry, I'm trying to find a Quiet Place 2 trivia.
Or if there was an explanation, it was whispered and I couldn't hear it.
Oh, I found a BuzzFeed article. 13 questions A Quiet Place Part 2 needs to answer. I think this is before it came out. Never mind, I don't want to read that.
I'm sure it didn't answer them.
Emily Blunt admitted that she was initially hesitant to join the project as she didn't feel like she could top the first movie. However, she was on board after she heard John Krasinski's pitch of the first bus scene. She also admitted that the first take of the scene is in the movie as she was also terrified in real life by the stunt, which had the bus coming at her at 40 miles per hour.
I like that she's like, I was sold on the very first scene that has nothing to do with the rest of the
nothing
plot.
Nothing to do with the rest of the plot at all.
And it's like, yeah, you didn't top what you did the first movie. You barely were in this movie, quite frankly.
On the Big Picture podcast, John Krasinski stated that he originally did not want to be involved in this sequel, but the producer convinced him to come over and pitch his ideas to the studio. After 3 weeks, they asked him to write the story with the idea that directorial duties would be handed over to other filmmakers. Krasinski finally offered to come back as director, jokingly suggesting that he was Jedi mind-tricked into signing on to the sequel.
So it seems like nobody even wanted this.
I know, right?
And they just basically were like, either you're gonna do it or someone else is gonna do it.
Yeah.
And so he was like, well, I mean, I guess I'd rather do it. Maybe it's bad on purpose. Maybe it's bad so that there won't be another one?
That's possible.
Not that the first one's, like, incredible, but this is a far cry from the first one, in my opinion.
In an early scene of the map shows a coastline next to Stamford, Connecticut, a reference to Krasinski's character, Jim, in The Office.
The Electric City.
That's not even the city, though. No. Stamford. That's
Well, I don't know. Maybe Jim's from there. I haven't seen The Office. I know it's set in
Scranton.
Scranton, Pennsylvania is where it's set.
He might be from, I don't know. I'm not that into The Office.
I've
watched it.
You've seen it all?
Yeah, I've seen it all multiple times.
Wow. And you don't know where Jim is from.
It's a lot of content. Not all of it's great.
You don't know where, you've seen it multiple times, you don't remember where Jim is from. I've not even seen past half of the first season, and I know it's set in Scranton, Pennsylvania.
That's like a main point, it's a main point of where Jim is from. Oh, Stamford. Stamford is where he goes to work after he quits at Scranton.
I did not know that he quit.
He quit, and then he goes to work at Stamford branch of Dunder Mifflin with Rashida Jones.
What?
Rashida Jones is in it.
She's also in Parks and Rec, yeah. The better version of The Office.
Yeah, but she's also in The Office.
What about Pam? What happens to them? Can you tell me? Can you spoil the office for me right now?
Okay, so Pam is engaged to Roy. They've been engaged for high school.
And he sucks.
And he sucks. He's the worst. And so they've been flirting, right? They like each other, very compatible. And then eventually she breaks up with Roy.
Right.
But they don't end up dating.
Right.
But then Jim basically, he's like, I'm in love with Pam, but I need to like, if it's not going to happen, then I need to like let it go. So he transfers to the Stamford branch.
Oh.
And that's where he meets Rashida Jones, who he starts dating. But then that branch goes out of business and they have to consolidate. So they have to come back. And so now he's in the office with Pam and Rashida Jones. So he's dating Rashida Jones for a while, but then eventually she finds out that he was in love with Pam at one point.
She doesn't like that.
And doesn't like that. And Pam doesn't like her because she's still in love with Jim. And then eventually he breaks up with her.
Well, I have to tell you, this is a classic Andy April.
The Office came first!
This is a classic Andy April.
What are you talking about?
This is a classic Andy April Ann situation.
What are you talking about?
That's a classic AAA triangle.
Jesus Christ! This doesn't make any sense!
No, I'm just putting it in terms I can get. That's the A triangle in Parks and Rec. But then it ends a lot faster because Andy and April just get married pretty much.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, it's, yeah.
Rashida Jones, once again cast out by the lovable goof.
So true.
In a mockumentary series. Ooh, gotta take the cap off to take a drink.
Oh.
Mm.
He's so good at deadpans, though. He's the king of deadpans into the camera.
He looks good with a beard.
I think he looks really good with a beard. I think he's hot.
He is hot. And he looks real good with a beard. He's a lot hotter with a beard.
I agree. I think some guys like look a lot hotter with
beards. Agreed. Yeah. Facial hair is male makeup.
It's very true. On certain men, it looks like awesome.
It's a contour.
It makes Seth Rogen.
It does. Oh, I mean, Seth Rogen without the beard? Baby. Weird baby. Seth Rogen with a beard? Hot man.
Hot man.
I don't really have a lot to say about this movie.
Yeah,
it was incredibly boring. I couldn't hear half of it because it was whispered. And we saw it in the worst format possible.
Well,
that's on us.
But they should have advertised that it was more talky.
I don't know. It was on us, but
I was expecting a certain amount of, like, silence that I did not
too.
Get.
I was, too. And I just feel like what I did pick up didn't add much.
Mm-hmm. I didn't really get it.
And I don't give a shit. I gotta say it. I don't give a shit about Emmett.
No.
John Krasinski made this family, and now that he's dead, I don't care about
it. I don't care about it.
John Krasinski was, like, the lead in the last movie.
Yeah, also, I think we talked about this while it was happening, but, like, Emily Blunt's hair looks perfect.
I said I love in post-apocalyptic movies, this is, like, such a classic thing.
Oh, yeah.
Woman, like, hair still perfectly dyed.
Yes,
but
highlights.
She just braids it.
To make it look
like she doesn't have the time.
Yeah.
She's gotta tend to her, like, garden.
But it's, like, balayage.
But it's like a balayage. And you're like, just like fucking grow the roots out. Or like,
been 2 years.
In my opinion, having your hair like cut off would be a lot better in a post-apocalyptic scenario than a braid.
Yeah.
And also this loose braid, this loose Pinterest ass.
I know,
braid.
Like, shut up. Shut up.
Shut up.
So unrealistic. I'll kill you. I know. Also, I love the girls like braids in like the flashback scene, and then like they literally just like cut the braids off and then it's just her bob.
Yeah.
So dumb.
Kind of makes sense though.
It kind of makes sense, but they did the same thing in like It, right?
Yeah.
With Bev's hair.
Yeah.
It was like obviously cut, but like they just had to make it look like a flashback, so they had to do the hair.
Yeah. Because you have to.
You have to. You know, you can't just Little Women it and do different color stories.
Well, it's more like they didn't know there was going to be a sequel, so they cut their hair. And then they were like, shit.
Shit,
now
God.
Now we have to either make a wig or we have to put you in some ratty-ass braid extension.
Yeah.
The budget dictates ratty-ass.
The latter is what we're doing.
I have a review.
Yeah.
What would you give this, though?
A 3.
That's what I would give it. pretty suspenseful in certain points.
Oh, there was like a couple scenes I was like, ah!
But overall, just like very disappointing, bad ending, messy story, just weird amounts of cuts, and the stories like get like equal time, but they just don't really dictate equal time. It felt very weird. Like,
felt forced.
Like, Reagan's story is so much bigger than like Emily Blunt's story, of going
to get medicine.
But like,
they're given,
we're given like the same amount of time nearly. And it's like, why?
Yeah, it doesn't really make sense to me.
Okay, so I do have a review. I really like this one.
Oh, I'm so excited. I'm so excited.
It's bad. 1 out of 10. Terrible and disappointing. The concept was good, but it was terribly executed. Dad gets offed in the first movie. Well, because men nowadays can't be strong.
No!
Oh, oh yeah. No! You can see where it's going.
Oh, no!
They just have to die to protect the females.
Oh, I hate when they say females.
We see basically zero strong male leads in this movie.
Emmett is a lead! Emmett's a lead!
We have the whiny boy who stupidly knows no limits, and the other dude who I don't even remember the name. But the females? Wow. We have the almighty deaf girl who drank deeply into the girl power fountain, and she's a genius who can do everything and solve any problems. Basically, she takes over John Krasinski's roles in the first fucking movie.
He has all of these, like, it's established that he has all of these documents. She probably just went through all of his documents.
Also, it's like, I think it's pretty established in the first movie that they're close.
And like, and that, it's also established that she's very
like,
smart.
And that he's like teaching her.
She's the oldest. He's like training her, right?
And she clearly, like, takes on his role in the family when he dies.
Yes.
Also, it's only been 2 days.
And also, he's been, like, obviously preparing her for that.
She decides to travel alone, even though she is the worst one to go in that mission. Just think about it. We gotta be careful not to make any noise, and she can't hear anything.
That was also an issue that we had.
That was an issue. LOL. And the mother, of course, always crying and with the power of being female.
Her husband is dead! He died a day ago!
And her daughter just went off on, like, a tragic journey.
Oh my god. Are you gonna cry about it, you little baby?
Also, in the first movie, like, here's the thing. This is also, I thought, kind of weird. It's, like, setting it one day after they die, she's still, like, the same mom in the first movie, but, like, circumstances now dictate that she needs to be, like, the strong one.
Yeah.
But she's not.
Yeah.
Because she hasn't had time to, like, have that personality shift.
Yeah.
Bizarro. I just like, I like that this guy's making some decent points, but he's doing it just, what's the most offensive way I can
He's
do
like,
it?
How can I be as sexist as possible?
Yeah, he's like, this is because of women.
It's like, that. I didn't get that
I
at
just
all.
Think it's bad writing, but, just cries a bit more, and other said nondescript male guy goes to fetch her daughter, and dude just goes for it. One would think he wouldn't care.
He was her dad's friend.
I do agree that this is a little silly, because he does say, one would think he wouldn't care. They haven't seen each other in a while. Why should he risk his life to get a girl that isn't even his own? But I would say it's because he has nothing to live for.
His son died and his wife died. What else is he going
to
do?
Exactly. I think he's like trying to be a good guy. And then he tries to just bring Reagan home, right? And then she's like, you said you wish you could have like helped your family. Yeah. And now you have a chance to help a bunch of families and you won't do it.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's why he does it.
Yeah, because he's like, you're right.
And what does he have to live for? Nothing.
Yeah, he's living in like a safe. Alone.
Yeah.
And he could die at any moment anyway, so, like, why not die searching for this girl, right?
You ready?
Mm.
Just because he's a man, he should sacrifice himself like the dad did? Oh, I see. Bah.
He didn't sacrifice himself, though.
He lives.
He lives. He's alive.
And he makes his life... He's also, like... It's like sacrificing for a better life for everyone. Not just... Like, he's not sacrificing himself.
Yeah. Also, they have, like, a baby. And most of the baby's a boy.
Yeah.
What?
Now, let's talk about the message through the radio. A song? Really?
What?
Don't need to say more. Could have been much better without these flaws I mentioned.
So, a song played on the radio is the deal breaker.
Yes.
Songs don't belong on radios, you know.
I do agree that it's, like, stupid that they just send a message instead of just sending a fucking message.
That's true.
Someone pointed this out in another review that it's, like, can the creatures understand our language or something?
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't seem like they can. I don't know.
I don't know.
A lot of questions this movie doesn't answer.
Yeah.
It brings up a lot of new questions that I never thought of that it just then doesn't answer.
But then it just goes with the same plot as the first one.
Yeah. Honestly, let down.
Let down. I was let down. Didn't really like it.
Me neither. I was disappointed.
I was disappointed too. But yeah, if you're a patron, you can listen to the new Child's Play.
Whoop whoop.
From, like, 2019 or something.
From today times.
From today times, not the 80s, has Aubrey Plaza in it.
Woo, hot. My celebrity, I mean, I have a lot of celebrity girl crushes, but
she looks good
one of my celebrity girl crushes, one of the main ones.
She looks really good in it.
She's hot.
She's great.
And she's so hot.
Yeah, it's great. So thanks for listening. I'm sorry this is a short episode, but this movie was not very good.
No, it wasn't. And this is like kind of what the movie feels like. It's just like, oh, it's over.
It's over. Yeah, exactly.
We're just giving you the feeling of the
movie. This is the vibe. But it's wild how much money this has already made.
Yeah. I mean, I do think it got a little overshadowed by the Conjuring movie, which it I'm did. Sure is worse.
I mean, I feel like it's definitely more unethical.
Yeah, I don't know. I honestly don't know if I can say it's worse. It will be more, like, basic. Yeah. It'll be less creative.
Less creative, I would think. More propaganda-y. Ugh. Anyway. Sorry we didn't like your movie very much, John Krasinski, but it sounds like you were drawn into it.
Sounds like you didn't really like it that much either.
All right, guys. Thanks. Bye.